Hello, everyone. Welcome to Challenging Your Status Quo, the go-to podcast for those seeking success that resonates on every level. Our guide on this journey to success is J.A. Dava, co-founder of Latreia Coaching and Consulting. Each episode, we challenge you to step outside your comfort zone in redefining holistic success. Because in order to truly excel, one must rise in all aspects of life, spiritual, physical, relational, and philanthropical. So buckle up. Let's explore how your vocation and well-being can harmonize perfectly. And give a warm welcome to the host of Challenging Your Status Quo, J.A. Dava.
Challenging Your Status Quo. I'm very, very excited about today for so many different reasons. As you all well know, as you listen to the podcasts, that we always cover the vocational success of people in multiple industries and different types of industries, not just in the financial area, but in multiple industries. And today, my special guest, what is even more exciting on my side of it is that this is a friend of mine from way back. And it's been a long time since I've been around Jeff. And as I introduce him to you, he's with Boston Scientific. It's been a long time. I believe when we first came on together to talk about this podcast, I believe that the last time he and I really spoke, besides maybe a quick pass by at the Minneapolis airport, was back in 1988. And so lots of things happened in that span of time. And the guest that we have, Jeff, is not only just an incredible person that I've known from way back when, but also has climbed he's just had a really incredible journey. And I watched it. I watched it on social media. I watched it from just, you know, having friends back in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which is where we both are from. He's currently still in Minnesota, but Jeff he's just worked his way to what a lot of us are striving for. And every day we work harder and harder. We work smarter and smarter. And every day we try to move ourselves up that so-called ladder. And he's the perfect guest to have on today's call. But remember that vocational success is something that we do focus on this show. But remember that there's always four other well-beings that we focus in on. What we try to do on this show is to not only give you a little bit of a glimmer of hope and a glimmer of another way to be able to look at your business every single day. So on the vocational side, you're there. But I always try to balance it off with either the spiritual well-being or the relational well-being. How are you doing with your family and your friends? And then the physical well-being, how are you doing? Are you keeping yourself in good condition to be able to enjoy the gifts of your hard work? And then finally, there's the philanthropical side of you, the philanthropical well-being. In other words, what are you doing with the blessings that have been given to you? Yeah, are you just hoarding it? Are you just kind of keeping it? Sometimes that's what's keeping you from having what I truly consider joy in your day-to-day living. So to me, as far as I'm concerned, success isn't just about the vocational side. It's about all five of those being well-balanced, okay? And is there really such a thing as balancing all of those? Not necessarily, because sometimes we have to put the energy in the right places first and foremost, but always aware that there are other parts of your life. Like if your marriage is not doing well, you need to concentrate on that because that might be what's keeping you from succeeding vocationally. And so, again, just being able to be aware, is it really about the life balance? No, it's just about the awareness of all of those well-beings. And so our special guest, by the way, probably has a lot of, and again, I'm not going to speak for him, but he's been blessed for sure. And that's why I love it. And we are actually going to concentrate on bringing not only the vocational side out, but also why it's important to keep the physical side of it up. And a perfect person coming from Boston Scientific, by the way, to be able to introduce you to my very good friend. And I'm so glad I'm back on with him. But his name is Jeff Mervis. He was at Boston Scientific. He's an EVP and also a president, I believe a global president for Boston Scientific. Jeff, welcome to Challenging Your Status Quo. How are you?
Hey, man, great to see you. I'm truly humbled to be a part of this podcast. And hey, everybody, hope you get a lot out of this conversation, and really looking forward to jumping right in.
Absolutely. So, and again, Jeff, thank you again, for sure. Jeff, you know, when you and I were talking yesterday, by the way, I just got to go here. Just get started off this way. But when you said that a lot of things are in the back of your head, right? A lot of our history is in the back of our heads. And we used to have some good times just growing up. I mean, we were really the closest between, I believe, seventh and ninth grade. I believe this when in high school, at Southwest High School. But anyway, we just...
best friends. And before we even had driver's license, like I remember riding my bike over to your house.
Yes.
So you think about that, it's like, that's a long time ago.
Well, it's a long time ago. And so we won't date ourselves anymore. Let's just go on to the real side of it. Jeff, again, this is one of those where I always feel funny about asking people on the show who I believe anyways, and I hope you do, you feel the same, are blessed in what they do. Right. And so, and I believe, and you even said it before I even said it yesterday when you were talking about just being blessed. And so can you just tell us a little bit, if you would? I know you're at Boston Scientific now. I'd like for you to tell us who you are at Boston Scientific. And then if you don't mind, just give us a little bit of a journey. Did you just like end up there because it was just easy enough to do it? Talk to us.
Yeah. So first of all, Boston Scientific is a medical device company. We're a global company with about $14 billion in revenue. We have around 45,000 employees around the world. We do business in over 160 countries. We have six global divisions, and we make devices for cardiovascular disorders, urological disorders, you know, problems in the GI tract. We treat, pain, and basically, we serve a variety of physicians and hospitals around the world to help people live better, longer lives, and in many cases, you know, save lives. And so you can maybe think about us as a tech company that's pointed at healthcare, because a lot of the technologies that we work on, really, really help patients. And my role at the company is I'm one of the executives. My day job is I lead a global division. We're a little over $2 billion in global revenue. And I have three different hats that I wear, actually. So like I said, my day job is running one of our divisions. We have devices that go outside of the heart. So if anyone has a blockage in an artery or a vein outside of the heart, we have products that help to keep those open. That could be in someone's neck or their kidney or their leg. And then we also have a group of devices that's used to treat cancer. And it's called interventional oncology. That's where if chemotherapy or surgery or radiation isn't appropriate, or maybe is, didn't work one time, then we move on to the interventional approach to treat cancers. And so that's my main responsibility. And then I also have corporate level responsibility for our Latin America and Canada regions. So those regions report up to me. That's for like the whole company. And then I also look after our global government affairs office. And that's where we, advocate on behalf of the industry to, hopefully help make our devices available to more and more patients around the world.
Wow. Okay. Jeff, I'm actually, so in full disclosure, you found out about one of my, it's companies like yours that I'm still breathing and still living today, just so that you know, twice, right? And so you found out about one of them, which is back in 2008, April 1st, 2008, I had a heart attack, and I had a 99.5% blocked left artery. And our audience knows that. And I had a stent put in, and I know Boston Scientific also stents. But then you just mentioned something that I hadn't even shared with you yet, but and I'm not sure my audience knows that, but I'm also a cancer survivor and prostate cancer. So 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and then it was proven as such. And at least I was already past that point where I really don't need kids. So I didn't have to go through all of the painful process of radiation and chemo. Listen, I just appreciate companies like yours who absolutely save the lives of people like me. So I will say from our end of it, absolutely thank you for everything that you guys do, because it's an awesome industry. And I didn't quite realize how big Boston Scientific was until I started to do the research on how big Boston Scientific was. So,
yeah, thank you. It's a wonderful way to make a living, just knowing that you're working on something that helps somebody's loved one or helps a patient, you know, live a better, longer life. And we actually have a new device we're working on right now for prostate cancer. One of our main goals is to bring more opportunity for patients around the world to have access to care. You talked about, you know, some of our blessings. You know, for those of you that live in America, you know, there are just so many wonderful parts of being able to live here. And one of them is just the access to healthcare. Right. You travel around the world in many, many countries. There's long waiting lists to have procedures done. Just geographically speaking, getting to a hospital can be very challenging. And, you know, we sometimes take for granted how much easy and ready access we have to really high quality healthcare. So it's one of the blessings I think we have, for sure.
For sure, Jeff. A robot did my surgery in prostate.
It's amazing.
Is that something that your company is also involved in?
Well, we have devices that the robot can use. We don't have the robot itself. That was probably Da Vinci.
It was Da Vinci. Yes.
It's amazing technology.
Well, the like you said, when you're supplying the robot with all the things that it needs as well, is probably coming from your end of it. And I remember my doctor telling me that from his location in Riverside Hospital here in Worthington, Ohio, they could be doing surgery in Kenya, right?
Yeah, amazing.
Like he was on the fifth floor and I was on some other floor while he was doing my surgery. And that just blows my mind. And so you must just be absolutely rewarded every time there's something better coming about and that your company is a part of that. So Jeff, I mean, how incredible is that? But that journey, I mean, I remember you at the University of Minnesota, where you and I were both there, and then you went on to St. Thomas. I believe it was St. Thomas, right?
Yeah.
And so you went on to St. Thomas with your a master's? Is that what you did?
Yeah.
Okay. And so tell me, that journey, did you immediately just kind of fall into this, or what was the journey like trying to go from that to where you are today, which is, again, congratulations on that.
Yeah. So I think, you know, part of my story is the fact that, you know, when I was 13-ish, my parents got divorced and I got my first job. And I realized that, hey, if I was going to go to college, I was going to have to sort of do it on my own. And I was going to have to pay for it and, you know, sort of be relatively independent to make it all happen. And that was a pretty big lesson for me as a young kid, realizing that, like, hey, if you want to be successful and you want to make something happen, like, you got to own it. You talk about challenging your status quo. Like, for me, that was a big early lesson, is that, like, you got to sort of confront the brutal reality and take accountability for what your dreams are. And so I always sort of had this work ethic where, you know, I just worked hard. And when I was in college, I had two jobs. You know, I worked at a formal wear shop and I was a bartender. And
I actually remember the formal wear stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, sort of coming through college, I got really excited when I took a marketing class. And I would think about it a lot. And then I took another one, and it became a passion of mine. And I had just so many questions about, you know, marketing topics. And so I ended up majoring in marketing. And then I decided that if I wanted to have a career in marketing, I thought the best thing for me to do would be to be a sales rep so that I could sort of understand, the discipline of how marketing is put to use. And when I took like the Myers-Briggs and all those type of interest tests, it always pushed me towards healthcare and to be a healthcare administrator, like run a hospital type of thing, because I liked healthcare and I liked business. And so I ended up getting a job in sales for Merck, which is a big pharmaceutical company. Yep. And this was in the late 80s, where we didn't know at the time that cholesterol was bad. And so my job, after some of the clinical data came out, was to go educate doctors about the importance of treating cholesterol, and that there were two things. There was the good cholesterol and the bad cholesterol, and that you really had to do blood tests to measure people's bad cholesterol, the LDL. And then, of course, at Merck, we had the product, you know, to treat the high bad cholesterol. And I loved it. And I really felt like I was making an impact. And then that's when I got my MBA, went to school at night while I worked during the day. And I'll just tell a quick story because I think it's sort of interesting about challenging the status quo. Is I had a friend of mine who was a recruiter in the medical device space. And I called him up because I saw an ad in the newspaper. That's when people read newspapers.
Right. I still do, Jeff.
A real paper?
A real paper.
Wow.
You're a real paper. Yeah, I still do. I travel a lot, so a lot of times I'll just grab it just to see really what that even looks like anymore. And
yeah,
it's changed a lot. But anyway.
It has. But anyway, so I called him up and I was like, hey, can you represent me? I want to, you know, try an interview for this job as a product manager for a small company. It was in the cardiovascular space, so it was connected to this job I had at Merck. And I was done with my MBA and wanted to sort of start my marketing career. And he called me back and he said, you know, yo, Jeff, like, sorry, but you're not qualified. And they want a marketing professional and you're a sales guy. Yeah, you have an MBA, but, you know, I have a reputation to uphold and I can't bring someone to the company that's not qualified. Right. I'm like, okay. So back to challenging the status quo, I was like, screw it. I'm just going to go for it on my own. So I took my resume and my cover letter and I blew it up. I went to Kinko's. I blew it up in the size of a poster. And I used the word big over and over and over in my cover letter. Like, I can see the big picture and I can write marketing plans that are big in scope and whatever. And I rolled it up into a poster tube and I personally drove to the office and I asked to see the VP of marketing. And I waited there for 2.5 hours. I wasn't going to leave it without personally handing it to the marketing head. And so I met her. Her name was Mary Meyer. And not to make a long story longer, but she ended up hiring me. And she helped me get my start in marketing. And, it was really fun to call my friend back and say, oh, hey.
I'm sure it was.
I wasn't qualified. I just accepted it.
Yeah.
But that was fun. That got me start on my journey. And I'll say this is that I was sort of weird because I had a vision for myself, and my vision was, I want to grow my career in marketing. Someday I want to be a VP of marketing and run marketing. And assuming I'm worthy and work hard and deliver results, I then want to be a general manager and be a CEO or run a division. And the reason I say that is because what I found is two things. By having a vision for yourself, it helps you make the career choices, the career pathing choices that keeps you on the path towards that vision. And what I found is when people don't have a clear, articulated vision for themselves, it's easy to wander and to get a little bit off track and maybe take a job because it's easy, or take a job because it's you get to manage people or something. But in the end, it's actually moving you further away from your goal rather than closer. So I think it helps to keep you on track. But the more you have that vision, the more you can articulate it to the people that are going to help you get there, your vision for yourself becomes seeable by the people making the decision on your next promotion. And if they hear from you over and over and over that this is where I want to go, what else can I do to develop? You know, where do I need to improve? How can I, you know, do more? What experiences do I need to get to that next level? All of a sudden, like when they need to make a decision on who they want to promote, like it's sort of laid out right in front of them. And I think it really helps you in that regard as well. So, you know, I would say like go to Starbucks, put on some headphones. If you don't have this clear in your mind, spend the time on it, write it down, articulate it, talk to people about it, share it with others, because it can really help you.
Yeah, Jeff, I first of all, I love that story. I love hearing those kind of stories where you actually waited for 2.5 hours. I mean, just think about that. Most people, by the way, first of all, it's strange enough that you made the phone call to your friend to ask for help, right? In today's world, that's hardly happening, by the way, in a lot of our coaching clients. And the second thing is that you actually did not take the no as a no, because they weren't even in the real position to tell you that you were in the right place. And thank God you did that. Can you imagine where life would be today?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know? Yeah.
I also think it's important to, you know, take smart risks, and you just got to put yourself out there.
Yes.
You know, it's really hard to find a new job and to get promoted. I mean, the competition these days, it's just really high. And even though you hear that unemployment rate is so low, it's tough out there.
Yes.
And you have to stand out, and you have to do the type of things to make other people see your true talents and what you can bring to the table.
Yes.
And it's not always going to work, but you know, that's okay. If you try something and it doesn't work, try something else.
Absolutely. And like you said, you got to own it though. I mean, you did own it. You owned it. You did not let your friend own it for you to tell you that it wasn't going to work that way. And was it Mary Myers? Is that who you said it was?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mary Myers. Wow. Does she know all of this? I mean, are you good friends with her at this point?
Yeah, we still keep in touch.
Wow.
And I'll tell you another quick story. And it's sort of like on the topic of like gender parity and equality in the workplace. She took a chance on me. And she, you know, I'm not the tallest person. I would say I'm 5'7" on a good day.
Yeah. And you know, same height, Jeff.
Sort of came up to my shoulder, and we would go and we would talk to doctors together, and we'd be waiting in the waiting room, and they would come out and they would immediately walk up to me and extend their hand to shake my hand, because they just automatically assumed like I was the boss.
Right.
And you know what I would do is I would just sort of step aside and say, let me introduce you to my boss, Mary Meyer. And she taught me like very early, you know, how to gracefully sort of deal with situations like that. And if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have gotten my start. And I think it's just a reminder that, you know, like it takes all types, and everybody has strengths in different areas. But, you know, sometimes there are real differences between, you know, gender and minorities. And like, we have to be open and honest and acknowledging that, you know, everybody's struggles are real, and they're different.
Yes.
And being cognizant of that, and then using whatever those differences are as your superhuman strength, it can matter.
Yes. And you know what? Yeah, you're right. Because there was so much lessons to be learned. And that little story you just said, by the way, because I mean, everything from what you just said, you were taller than her. You were a male, right? And I mean, so immediately it must be to you, right? You must be the one that people immediately kind of form ideas on who's who, right? And so I love that story. I love everything about what you just said. And Jeff, I think about that little lesson learned, just being able to turn and say, let me introduce you to my boss. I mean, that's another missed opportunity that some people miss. And believe it or not, it sets a pace in so much of what you end up doing throughout your career, by the way. And you'll remember that moment. And then that grace side of you is such an important piece, because it's so missing in a hard world that we're in right now, right? When things are so tough, those little things that you were showing elevated you to those levels, right? And so as our audience is listening and they're thinking about, you just gave a whole bunch of nuggets, you got to own it, you got to take accountability. We're big on accountability here. When we do our experiential type of coaching, where we take people out in football fields and such, I mean, it's pretty crazy what companies will do. And, you know, but there's so many little lessons. And what really surfaces in those kind of things is how different people are. And everyone has their own little struggles, right? People would never know. And I'm glad that Mayor Myers gave you a shot. And yeah. I bet she has a smile from ear to ear, just like yours now, knowing full out that what a difference she made for the Mertes family, right?
Yeah, 100%.
How big is that? So, and Jeff, you know, I mean, you, like I said, you and I could end up talking forever on this, but in your corporate climb, again, a perfect person to be talking to as far as health-wise is concerned, you and I really, what really led me to call you had nothing to do with business as much as it had everything to do with, I saw something that you guys did as Boston Scientific, and whether or not it's a small part of your company, a big part of your company, I'd love for you to share just a little bit, because the balance of vocational success, okay, I believe is directly parallel to how well you take care of yourself physically. I think you can succeed without taking care of your physical, but I think eventually it starts to fall apart, right? And so Jeff, so I want to transition into, from your vocational success, has physical success or well-being, I should say, has that played a role in your climb? And how important has that been to you, period, before we even talk about really what Boston Scientific and what I saw online?
Yeah, for sure. So, of course, the answer is yes. You know, people a lot of times talk about work-life balance. And I actually prefer the term work-life harmony. Because in my mind, balance, when you think about like a scale, it's like, when one thing is higher on that scale, that means something else has to come down. That's and right. It's sort of like, you know, like this. And I think that's the wrong mindset. I think that if you think about it in terms of harmony, if like, how do you have the right kind of harmony in your life? And you talked about, you know, the five different elements that you work on around relational and spiritual and physical and philanthropic, in addition to vocational. It's like all of that has to be in harmony in order for you to have a fulfilled life and to reach your full potential as a human being. Right. And I think that when your personal life is out of whack, as you said, it can overflow into the business life and vice versa. And so I think, you know, in thinking about just the harmony, and the ability to sustain high performance over long periods of time, you have to be at the tip top shape. And you think about, you know, an athlete, you know, pick your example of an athlete, like they invest in their physical well-being that relates around not only just working out, but nutrition and sleep and meditation and just, you know, having the mind in a healthy place. And for me, like, especially when my kids were younger, like, I prioritized making sure I could sort of give my full attention, my full self to my family and to my work. And the way I could figure out how to do that was to be physically active. And my saying is, you know, I work out every day, no excuses. And I fly to Japan. First thing I do when I get to the hotel is I go straight to the gym. You know, if I'm in China and, you know, I was out late with some customers or whatever, I'll set my alarm for 5 a.m. and I'll get up and I'll just get it done.
Yes.
And what I have found is it not only gives me more energy, but it helps me get my mind right. And it is the one commitment I have to invest in myself every day so that I can be my best self for my loved ones and for my business. And for me, it's been the key on being able to sustain high performance over a long period of time.
Jeff, you just based on your description of like the EVP position, the global position, actually there was a third in there that you threw, but with all the responsibilities that are there, there's an awful lot of people that we serve every day that absolutely believe there's just no time in the day to be able to get that done. Next to you, that can't be the excuse. And there's just no way. I mean, I love when you say work out every day, no excuses, right? That's what you say. So has that been, I mean, you said 5 a.m. So
yeah.
You don't have a set time that you're regimented and when you're doing it, you just force yourself to make it happen. I mean, has that been realistic to you? I mean, have you been able to work it in no matter what?
Yeah, look, I'm busy. You're busy. Who's not busy?
Right.
Like, who has extra time? But I would say you can't afford not to make the time. And I talk to a lot of people, and usually that's the first excuse.
Yes.
Well, I don't have time. And, you know, my view on that is you deserve a half an hour every day to invest in yourself and to keep your body in tip-top shape, to help keep your mind in tip-top shape. And when I have a problem, like, and I'm working on it, and like, when I have something that's sort of working on, I feel like my brain is like when your phone is trying to find the Wi-Fi signal and it's like just scrolling and going in circles. That's what my brain does. I can't like turn that off except when I go for a run and I'll put on my headphones and I'll go do 4 or 5 miles. And when I come back, it's sort of like, you know, the clouds lift and my mind is just more open to creative solutions to complex problems. And so, of course, working out helps the body. It keeps you in cardiovascular shape. You know, as you age, you lose 1% of your muscle mass every year. So, like, that's why a lot of people have injuries later in life, because their muscles are weaker. And so, especially women with osteoporosis, you know, I mean, there's bone breaks and things. So it helps, you know, working out regularly helps keep your body right. But I think, especially in today's world with so many mental health challenges that we all have, it's good for the brain. Yeah. And there's a lot of science behind it that I'm sure you can Google and read about, you know, endorphins and dopamine and all the sort of chemicals that get released during exercise. You know, and I'll just say one of my tips is when people say I don't have the time, you know, especially in Minnesota when it's dark, you know, it's like,
yeah,
like, you know, in the winter, you know, sun doesn't come up till 8 a.m. and then it's dark at 4 p.m. and like days are not very long. It's hard to get up in the morning and go drive to the gym, and it takes a long time. And so what I've done is I put a couple of workout pieces of equipment in my basement. And my only excuse is now is, oh, I don't want to walk downstairs to go use it. And I make it as attractive as possible. You know, there's a TV and I have a speaker and you know, I've taken some of the barriers out of the way to make it convenient. And then when I travel, first thing I do is I put in my tennis shoes and my workout gear. And even if I'm only going for one night, I always have it with me.
Right. No excuses. In other words, okay. Right. There really is none. I mean, and that's coming from a very, very busy person with responsibilities are really, I mean, you're in that role for a very specific reason, right? You're in that role. You've got a lot of responsibilities. There's no excuses about that. You're not somebody that's just kind of getting started, kind of trying to figure their way out. There's an awful lot there, and there's an awful lot that you could use as an excuse to not work out for that half hour. And sometimes it is just a matter of shifting it. When you said, I had to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get it done because I knew the rest of that day it wasn't going to get done at all. And you just got to be very, very realistic with that. Jeff, absolutely. As far as being in tip-top condition, you don't have to be the next Ironman triathlete. You just, like you said, the balance, the mental and the physical mindset, by the way, how big is that? The clearing of the mind, what you were talking about when you walk in. Sometimes people just need to walk away, especially now that they're at home. Right. They're working from their home. They're remote. A lot of these people don't even walk out of their house ever. Yeah. Right. And just continue to work because they think that that's getting a lot done. And I can just be as guilty. But, you know, I'm one of those people, Jeff, that I better wake up at 4:30 in the morning and get things done between 4:30 and 7:30 or it will not get done. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of what you're talking about. And so sometimes you need to become inconvenienced, but I love how you brought that back by saying, make it all convenient. In other words, be realistic, figure out, my gosh, there's enough programs. You can just turn on a yoga channel on YouTube and do a 20-minute yoga exercise downstairs. And that will make a big difference in your life. Don't make the excuse of not being able to go to the gym today or something. It's too dark out to go for a run, things like that. So really appreciate that.
Each person has to figure out what works for themselves. You know, I found that, you know, when I tell people every day, no excuses, it sort of like makes me feel more accountable for it because I said it out loud. I also have looked at ways to, you know, I have a stand-up desk now, so I stand for most of the day and that's also really healthy. When I have one-on-ones with some of my team, like if it's on Teams or a phone call, I'll go for a walk for an hour.
Right.
Rather than just sit here, stand here, you know, if it's nice out, you know, I'll walk the dog while I go do a one-on-one on the phone.
Right.
And so there's so many different ways you can, you know, execute. I think the key thing to me is just making a commitment for yourself that you're going to invest in your own well-being, your physical and mental well-being, so that you can deliver peak performance for your family, for your business, and for your career. And I think if you commit to it, you'll find a way to fit it in. And then it just becomes a way of life.
Absolutely.
Like, it's my routine now. I don't think about it. I don't plan.
You don't fret about it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And Jeff, you know, as we're I'm watching the clock go by, I have to ask you though. Why I did reach out to you, I started with that, but I really wanted to hear even how important it is to you, considering the fact that we have an awful lot of executives that will listen to this, right? And number one, I hear an awful lot of excuses that I'm way too busy for that. I'm going to put it off, whatever. I mean, retirement's only a couple years away, four or five years away. You know, I can play as much as I want to play. That's just not guaranteed, right?
Yeah.
It's just not. And, you know, I could have been taken away in 2008, right? And taken away again in 5 years ago. So, I mean, it's just never a guarantee. So, Jeff, one of the things that I saw online and I was really, it brought a smile on my face was that you guys started to promote this thing with the Peloton bikes. I believe it was the Peloton bikes, right?
Yep.
Can you, so executives are listening to this need to really kind of listen to this right now. And just, Jeff, tell me whether it's a company-wide or just a small portion. Can you just tell me what that whole story is all about and Peloton bikes on social media for you?
Yeah. So, well, it started with, so I'm a big Peloton fan. It's one of the ways that I work out in the morning. It's, by the way, it's super convenient because it doesn't take up a lot of space.
Right.
The content is endless. So there's biking and running and meditation and yoga and weights. I mean, so whatever it is you want to do, it's on the Peloton app or bike. And to your point, like if I'm on the road, I might do something on my phone on the Peloton app in my room. And so, you know, I've been a big fan of it. And, you know, I'm also at Boston Scientific. I'm the executive sponsor for our employee resource group for our Black leaders. And we brought in one of the Peloton instructors as a speaker to celebrate Black History Month in February. And, you know, his name is Alex Toussaint. He's one of the faces of Peloton. He's just a very inspirational guy. He wrote his first book back in the fall. And I really thought that a lot of his life messages were really important for our employees to hear. And I do a lot of his Peloton rides. And so we had this idea of let's try and foster, you know, more of his well-being and his messages to more employees around the company. And so we decided to do a unity Peloton ride for Boston Scientific employees, you know, once every month to celebrate some topic. And so, as I said, February was Black History Month. March, we celebrated Women's History Month. And then this month in April, we're going to do a ride to celebrate Earth Day. And so it really was a way to accomplish two things. One is to help foster, you know, more well-being through physical exercise amongst a group of people at the company. And then two is, especially in today's world where there seems like there's so much division and a lot of people are working from home and feel a little bit lonely or don't have the interaction with employees that they used to. It's a way for us to be, you know, to sort of have a spirit of unity, of coming together towards a common purpose of well-being. And the feedback has been terrific, you know, and not everybody's on Peloton. So, you know, it's for a subset of people, but, you know, it's just a way to sort of propagate the message around investing in your own personal well-being. And so far, you know, it's been really fun.
So maybe for those of us that don't use the Peloton app like you do, right? The Peloton app actually is an app. So it's not just for the biking anymore. It's got other things in it now. Is that what you're saying? So when
there's meditation. So you could have a 5-minute morning meditation of gratitude. There's weightlifting. Whether that's body weight or actual, you know, physical dumbbells or something like that. There's walks, there's run and Peloton bike and really anything that you're into, Pilates, yoga. And the cool thing about it is they have all different types of instructors, different types of music. So if you're into rock or hip hop or pop, you can sort by music. And it's convenient because you can, you know, take it with you, or you can have a physical bike or something like that. So, you know, there's many different options out there, but I think this is an interesting one.
You said something about the great feedback that you're getting, Jeff. I think it, you know, number one, congratulations on the fact that you're supporting it, especially at your level, because it's showing you're leading by example is really honestly, you know, I'm not here to pat you on the back and say, oh, you're so great, Jeff, but the leading by example that you're talking about serving so many different levels of it, right? I mean, we're talking about the mental, the physical, as well as the vocational side of things, right? I mean, just being able to get out and do something that's encouraging on its own. But tell me some of the feedback. I mean, because there's a lot of people here saying, you know, I don't know how we're ever going to find that kind of time, and why would I put my employees through that? I mean, what are some of the feedback that you're getting, and has it made a difference for you guys?
Yeah. So firstly, you know, it was because there's like on the bike, there's a leaderboard, so you can actually see people's names. Oh. And then, you know, as you go throughout the ride, you sort of try and climb the leaderboard. And so it was the first feedback was, wow, it was so cool to see so many different Boston Scientific people on the ride and see their names and see them on the leaderboard. And one of the things Peloton does, which is cool, is they, you know, they always talk about lifting others up with you. And so the leaderboard's not intended to be like a competition. It's more like, you know, give people high fives as, you know, as they pass you or you pass them. And so that was really fun to see, you know, our colleagues lifting each other up and cheering each other on. And so then we started getting questions about like, well, when's the next ride? And, oh, I'm so sorry, I missed it, but can I do it on video? Because there's a lot of recorded content. And, you know, I've heard of some employees now that, you know, want to get Peloton or get the app so they can just be a part of it. And it's turned into unexpectedly like a community of people that are, you know, being together and sharing and investing in their own well-being.
How good is that for the soul, Jeff? Right. I mean, especially like you were talking about earlier, people have gone remote. They're hardly interacting with people. And a lot of the times, all week long, maybe on the weekends they're getting out, but all week long they're home, they're working from home, they're eating in their homes. And, you know, so that's it. That's their socialness and that's their activity. You know, you've got to love when, honestly, when people are starting to kind of build a community around, whether it's virtual or not, because I mean, it sounds like it's virtual, right? Yeah. They're just high-fiving each other virtually and all of that. But what a great thing to do for the soul.
And, yeah. I also believe it helps with engagement because, you know, people are engaging with each other and meeting new people. And, you know, as you probably all know, like an engaged employee is going to deliver, you know, better results and hopefully stay with the company for longer. So I think there's a really important engagement piece to it. And then, you know, like I do believe that back to the harmony piece, when people have the right work and life harmony, they will deliver better results. And so we want each and every one of our employees to deliver their full potential each and every day. And sure. The more that they can be engaged and be healthy and happy in life and in work, you know, it's going to translate into improved performance. And that's obviously very important in today's business world. And so, you know, I think there's, you know, many more dimensions than just the sort of the health and wellness piece too.
Yes. Jeff, invaluable stuff. Good stuff. If, you know, we're coming to a close only because of time wise, I, like I said, I could talk to you forever, Jeff. Just out of curiosity, if you had just a room full of executives and you were talking both on the vocational and the physical well-being side of things, what would you say to a room full of how well those two should really have, as you put it, harmony? What would you tell executives to really kind of focus in on?
Well, I'd say one is you can accomplish more than you think you can. And I think a lot of times as human beings, we're limited by our own imagination of what's possible. And so dream big, set ambitious goals, and then work towards them. And then, you know, I do think that, you know, you touched on how blessed we are, but we really only have what we can count on, which is today, because the past is history. The future is a mystery. And so we have to take full advantage of what we have today and each and every day. And I would want for each of you to invest in what you can today for yourself so that, you know, when you have a tomorrow or the future, you can get the most out of it. Because no one wants to retire and then not have the health to fully enjoy it. And if you want to deliver sustained high performance, I really believe you just have to invest more in yourself.
Yes.
It's sort of like on the airplane when they tell you to put your oxygen mask on first before you put it on your kid or the person sitting next to you. It's a little bit like that. Mm-hmm. If you want to be there for your family and for your employer and you want to deliver over extended periods of time, you have to take care of yourself and be in tip-top shape.
Yes.
And commit to it. Talk about it out loud and then just take accountability and get it done. I promise you, you will be happy you did.
Yes. Jeff, again, invaluable words. And as we come to a close, Jeff, let me just tell you that reuniting with you and talking with you again has been an absolute blessing in my life. So thank you. Thank you for taking the time and making it a priority to just kind of bring us back together. And I know that you and I during high school went through the separation of parents. My parents separated and life went in every direction and we had a choice. We could have ended up in a completely different lifestyle at this point. We just could have. So it's really everybody's choice. You have a choice to succeed and or fail. You have a choice of not having harmony or having harmony, using your words. And here at La Trea, I can't say enough, but you've done well for yourself, sir. It's so good to hear that it's not just me reading about you as much as it is hearing how well you're doing. And I just want to tell you that you have a beautiful family, and I hope nothing but the greatest for your family. And who knows, maybe someday in life, our two companies can meet somehow, some way, somewhere, right? And we'd love the opportunity to do that. But honestly, this is the blessing right here. So good job, great job, and I'm very, very proud of you, my friend.
Thank you.
You were my friend. Yeah. What's that, Jeff?
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So with that, Jeff, I'm gonna close off the show. I'm just gonna send you back to the green room, enjoy the snacks there, right? but anyway, so Jeff, again, thank you for blessing our audience.
Thank you all.
All right, guys. I don't know how much more needs to be said, but I will tell you there are so many lessons in today's episode, all the way from what friendships really mean, right? Because even though we're talking about vocational success, and alongside physical, I really want to bring back that, you know, the investment that Jeff talked about at the very end of the show, the investment that you're making on your physical side is really an investment overall in all the different levels, all the different well-beings to create that harmony. You know what? You stay in touch. You value your bestest of friends. It doesn't matter when they came into your life, but they came in your elementary schools, your high schools, for both Jeff and I, middle school, actually, or we became the bestest of friends. And even when we walked away from that and went our separate ways and we dealt with real life stuff, we dealt with separations and our parents getting separated when, you know, we lived in a fairly good place, right? And also we had to work and we had to work to get ourselves through school. We had to work to choose for our family, our future family, which is now current for us, what we're going to be able to provide for them. So they never, ever have to deal with the things that we dealt with. Guys, every single one of you have that story inside of you. And so, yes, thank you for being concerned about your vocational well-being. But please understand, relational well-being is just as important. And it doesn't matter. Reach out to those people you haven't been in touch with. They were in your life for a purpose. Understand that. And then there's that physical well-being, which is what we were concentrating on today. If you're an executive on this particular episode right now, challenge yourself to make something that will bring a great environment together for your group around the physical well-being. And then finally, guys, I can't ever end by not saying, by not addressing this, which is the philanthropical side of you. You've been blessed. What are you doing with those blessings? Go share it. Go make somebody else's day. There's so many different ways to do that. And so with that said, guys, Jeff gave us all sorts of things to think about, one of which is really, you know what? Because we're talking about physical, all of you are working on your vocational success. But don't ever forget that the physical side, work out every day. Work out every day. No excuses. And you heard him say it. It's not working out isn't just going to the gym for an hour and blasting out as many weights that, you know, pushing as much weight as you can. It could be just a walk while you're on your actual conference call. You can do that. So don't make an excuse for yourself. We want to see you and don't ever count on it. What did he say? He said, the past is history. The future is a mystery. And what you have is today. Make it count. So with that said, guys, thanks so much for listening. If you did enjoy this episode, please do me a favor and just follow us and like us. And with that said, as always, be blessed and go be a blessing. Take care, everyone, and thanks for joining. Bye-bye.
And that wraps another episode of Challenging Your Status Quo. We hope you found inspiration and practical wisdom to carry into your daily lives. If JA has inspired you, join our community by subscribing to the podcast. Stay connected with us at latreacoaching.com and through our social media channels where the conversation and growth continue. On behalf of JA and his whole team, we thank you for listening and invite you to keep challenging the status quo in your own life. Until next time, remember, pursue excellence, live purposefully, and embrace holistic success. We'll catch you next episode.